was a little more than a touch. Padded room, swimming pool party. It's beach time, baby. My name is Darian. Miss Monica is here.
I am here.
Buddy is in the house.
Yes, sir.
It's the whole team all up in your face this week.
Mm-hmm.
You savages. Monica, how are you?
Oh, you know.
How are you? We literally, as Monica is walking into my house, she announces that she probably can't stay because her husband has been in a car accident. So the three of us, being friends of Monica's and her husband, all hop in our vehicles and haul ass over to where Monica's husband may or may not even be alive.
Yeah.
We get about halfway there. It's probably about 10 minutes away from my house. And I just see Monica and Buddy peel off in a completely opposite direction. So I'm thinking, well, that makes sense because Monica hates her husband. So I'm assuming they got some good news and are headed to the casino. And then I get a text from Buddy saying that he's fine. He's on his way home. So I guess the car may or may not have been totaled.
Well, he said the whole passenger side is completely caved in.
Oh, God. What kind of car is that again? It's just a little...
It's just a Kia.
Okay.
It survived a horse crash once.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So it was held up by Gorilla tape.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah.
That, I think, yeah.
Might have to buy another roll.
Right.
Are you sure there was actually a car accident, or did the Gorilla tape just give out finally? Yeah. Just kind of fell off onto the freeway.
Well, the fact that he's going to have to report it because now we're going to be responsible for the car in front of us.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Well, so what are we thinking? He got rear-ended and it smacked him into the...
Yeah, he said that there was a car that slammed into him.
Okay.
And then he hit the car in front of him, bounced off it to the guardrail, and the driver that slammed into him took off.
What a jackass.
Well, I know, yeah. Motherfucker.
Hopefully somebody got his plates. Because if they did, you guys are about to get paid big time.
Oh, yeah.
But I hope so.
Knowing your luck, he's probably uninsured. Yeah. In which case, he's going to go to jail and you ain't going to get shit.
Exactly.
Either way, hopefully somebody saw something. That's fucked up, man.
I believe in karma.
Me too.
Me too.
No pun intended. I've been hanging out with Buddy and his family all weekend, so I'm full of corny jokes.
Uh-oh.
Action-packed with them. But I tell you what I'm also action-packed with. I found a new level of hell. Let me set the stage for you here. You go out. First off, Buddy and his wife show up. We went to San Francisco last weekend. Saw the last podcast on the left live. Very cool. Buddy and his wife brought like a variety pack of fucking shots. And it's just the fruitiest. It's very tasty. There's some very tasty stuff in there, but it's all like super fruity.
Lots of sugar.
Yeah, dude. It's like whipped fucking nipples or whatever they are. like chocolate fucking things.
And yeah, there's chocolate, strawberry.
Swirly.
Wow.
Root beer floats.
Basically, it's got like on one side of it, the little shot glass is like split in half. So the alcohol is on one side of it and the other is... and the other flavor part is on the other
side. Oh, that's cool.
So you drink it with the split right down the middle, so both
mixes in your mouth.
When you swallow.
Wow.
Very tasty. I did many of them, which means I went straight to vomit town. Now, at this point in my life, I'm accustomed to throwing up after I drink. That's just what I do.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
I blame the 99 bananas.
I think, yeah, probably could have done without that. I blame the lemon drop things that your wife was drinking.
Oh,
that
okay.
was a bad business, too. Now, it's fine. I throw up. I go back to sleep. And uh-huh. then I wake up a little bit later, throw up again, go back mm-hmm. to sleep. That's just my routine.
Right.
But not this particular, on this occasion, because I was sharing a hotel room with a guy who snores like a fucking pig being slaughtered.
Oh, my God!
I'm going to play a little audio for you here.
Yeah, so while he's doing that, I got this little text message in the morning. It's like, oh, hey, this fuckhead, listen to this.
This motherfucker. Let me tell you how pissed off I was. Yeah, we're in a hotel room with two beds. And as you know, whenever you're in a hotel room, they give you like six pillows.
Uh-huh.
I fired off all six pillows at him. And it didn't even slow him down. It just like broke his rhythm for a minute.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But I was so pissed off. I got up, got my six pillows back, tried to go back to bed, and ended up throwing them at him again, son of a bitch.
You should have threw up on him.
Oh, believe me. Thought had occurred to me, sir. Let's see if you can hear this. This is great. Let me give you max volume, just to give you the ambient feeling of that hotel room. All fucking night long, right?
Oh my
goddamn
God!
That was like one of the tamer sections.
Uh-huh.
At other points, he would like.
Wow!
Wow!
It was like a full crescendo. God, I think I may have vomited even without the alcohol. Just listening to this guy choke on his own tongue all fucking night. Jesus Christ! Oh, other than that, I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, met some cool people, including the Uber and Lyft drivers and the bartender lady. She was really cool.
The Milk Bar.
Milk Bar,
that's
yes.
going to be our new official hangout in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Great place.
Great place.
They have an open mic there, too.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, it was on Sunday, not Saturday.
Oh.
I would have got up there. I would have done 5 minutes.
Yeah?
Yeah, do a little stand-up. It's going to be all horror movie based. You guys are the only ones that are going to know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
You know that part in Sorority House Massacre where they got the fire ladder thing?
Everybody else be looking around.
What the fuck is he talking about?
Sorority House, what campus is this on?
Oh, okay. I guess somebody got hurt there or something. All right, you maniacs. We got the usual shit show. Hopefully Monica can hang out the whole show. If not, then we may have to finish this later or go to the hospital or whatever. In the meantime, let's get into the usual crapola. We got listener mail, horror news, a movie to talk about. I'm excited to talk about. Let's start it off with a little horror news.
Oh, yeah.
Horror news.
Mm-hmm. Monica?
Mm-hmm. God, I hope you guys don't have these stories.
Okay.
Maniac Cop.
What about it?
It is getting the official green light.
Yes!
All right.
Uh-huh. The sucky part is that it's going to be a female cop. Maniac Cop will be a guy.
Okay.
But the detective that comes after him is going to be a female.
I'm not mad at that. I'm okay with that.
No, I guess it depends on who the female is.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember the first Maniac Cop, it was Matthew Cordell, but Bruce Campbell was blamed for a lot of the killings.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was his girlfriend, who was also a cop, her and Tom Atkins were the ones that figured the whole shit out. So, in a way, it's not that much of a stretch.
Okay. They said casting is underway, so maybe we'll soon find out.
Yeah.
Huh.
Who do you get to play the Maniac Cop? You need a big guy. And you need an ugly guy. You can't really...
Oh,
Brendan Fraser.
No, he's too skinny.
Now?
Well, I mean, like, Maniac Cop was a big guy.
Yeah, Robert Zegar is dead.
Batista.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
He would be a good Maniac Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck one side of his face up.
Oh, yeah. Well, fuck the whole thing up. Forget it. Jesus. I mean, he's not an attractive man. Is he attractive, you think? Like, from the neck up, I'm saying.
He's okay.
He looks good blue. when he's painted blue.
I might sleep with him one time, but that's about it.
Once you go Batista, you don't go back, Monica.
The other news is that Escape from New York has been confirmed as well.
Cool.
And Robert Rodriguez will be directing the new one. Damn it!
Sorry. I'm sorry. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
I can't wait for that one.
That looks good. But unfortunately, we've been talking about this for about 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been an onslaught of directors attached to it since its inception. So hopefully this is the one that actually gets it done. I had that John Carpenter was going to executive produce.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be badass. Yeah. You need the Carpenter in there.
Yeah, but I think Robert Rodriguez will do a good job.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
he stays there.
Yeah, if he can actually pull it off.
Right. And then my last news is, so this is the 35th anniversary of The Thing.
Cool.
I had no idea it's been that long.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know how old that makes me feel?
Right? Yeah,
35?
35th anniversary.
Man.
So FrightRags.com has come out with 5 new shirts for The Thing.
Nice.
For the 35th anniversary.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I might have to check those out. Did you look at any of the designs?
Yes, I did.
Yeah?
I already know which one I'm going to get.
MacReady with a flamethrower, I hope.
No.
Doc's head growing spider legs.
Yes! That's my favorite one.
Yes! I would like one just with Wilford Brimley on it.
Oh, just my God.
In his ski parka. God damn it, I'm not infected. And I have diabetes.
And that's all I got.
Very cool, very cool, buddy.
All right. The Puppet Master remake begins filming next week in Dallas. And, of course, it's called Puppet Master Littlest Reich.
Very cool.
Yes.
Going back to Nazi Germany.
Hell yeah. Tim Curry is confirmed for Pennywise, the story of It documentary by Deadmau5 Productions.
Cool.
Yeah.
How's he doing these days? Any idea?
No clue. I didn't think he was doing that well.
No, I know he had a massive stroke, but I think he was still showing up for like conventions and stuff.
He's in a wheelchair, isn't he?
The last I saw, yeah.
Yeah, all so right. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, very cool.
And for those who forgot about this, Zombieland 2 is still in active development, according to the writers.
Actually, I just saw something on that it has been confirmed the original cast is coming back.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't share that one because I figured you had it.
No, I did not, actually. I did not have that one.
All right. Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Oh, let's see what we got here. Tom Savini and Doug Bradley are teaming up, and they are creating the quote-unquote Pinhead experience.
Oh.
This is probably going to be very expensive, but basically what you can do if you're willing to travel and probably pay about $300, you can get your picture taken with Doug Bradley in full Pinhead regalia in front of a custom-built set that looks like the attic of Frank's house with the spinning spindle and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's gonna launch in Arizona next month.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Ooh, I think we're going to have to do a little field trip.
I would love to. I'm sure that's going to be expensive, though, man.
I would think for, like, the real deal that they would, like, put some hooks in you, maybe.
I don't know
about that. How the people do it in their back.
Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'll pay extra if I don't have to do that.
Yeah, right?
That's pretty gnarly, man. I'd love to do that. I just, I don't know if I want to go to Arizona in May.
It'd be hot.
It would. But I don't know. This is probably like a one-time thing, too, or at least like a one-year thing.
I wonder if they give you like an outfit to put on so, you know, you kind of blend in a little bit.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. That'd be cool if they did. Yeah. If I could get my own Cenobite outfit.
Yeah.
Well, that would be right? Cool.
Yeah. I'd be the flabbiest Cenobite. Oh, no. What else we got here? HBO has confirmed a third season of True Detective. You guys watch that show at all?
No. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really good show. The first season was... the seasons don't have anything to do with each other, kind of like American Horror Story. First season was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on like this Lovecraftian thing with the serial killer down south. And the second season was pretty cool. It was about like a corrupt city infrastructure in the Los Angeles area. Had Vince Vaughn as a mob boss.
Oh,
he's wow. He's pretty bad motherfucker when he wants to
be. Is that the season that had John Carter in it?
No, it had. It was. Who's John Carter?
Taylor. You know the. Yeah, that Taylor guy. Kitch? Taylor. Yes. Yeah. He was in season two. Okay.
He was in it. He got into some weird gay stuff. I mean, it's fine if you're gay, but he's, you know, he's one of those weird gays where he's like, I'm mad at myself for being gay. And
don't well, was call me Rachel gay. McAdams in there too?
Yeah. See,
okay, they were hot and heavy, so.
Oh, were they together?
Yeah,
they
were
like at that time. I like that. It's weird because you know Rachel McAdams. She's a pretty attractive lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in that one, she was like a strung out cop, like a dirty cop.
Oh, okay.
And she was like all cracked out looking and like, it was really weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a good. It's a great show. Second season's a little hard to follow because it gets into some really weird shit. Have we all seen Straight Outta Compton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember Ice Cube Jr.?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the... Oh, hey, now. Hey. Hey.
As long as he keeps a beanie on.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know you were into Thugs, Monica.
That's an interesting request.
Does he have to have the Jerry curl, too? Or
no, just leave the beanie on.
Wow. Okay. All right. Looks like he's going to be playing in the Godzilla sequel.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I'm not 100% sold on him because in that one, I mean, that was a great movie, Straight Outta Compton, but he's playing his dad.
Right. Looks just like him.
Yeah. How hard is it? I could do a spot on impression of my dad right now. All I need is a bathrobe, some boxer shorts. So I guess we'll reserve judgment on that one, see how that goes. Lastly, Sony's Venom movie. You guys know the comic book character Venom?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
It's the black Spider-Man symbiote.
Oh, okay.
Very alien-esque.
Mm-hmm.
This one's already gotten a hard R rating and is being marketed as a horror film. Which oh, is easily
yay.
Good. Yeah.
Excited for that.
Yeah. That could be badass. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's a pretty gnarly son of a gun, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Giant teeth and his fucking ink.
Yeah.
Boogers that he
That'll
flings.
Be cool.
Yeah. That's cool. All I got on the horror news.
Awesome.
You guys got anything else?
No.
No? All right. Let's get into a very limited listener mail section. I think people are still adjusting to our Tuesday nights.
Listener mail.
Hey. Whoa there. We got an email and we got a couple voicemails here. Let's start it off with the email. Angel's in the house.
Angel.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. Oh no, I'm not gonna sing anymore. My sweet pipes are a little clogged anyway. Subject line, murder of murderers. Okay. Hey, Padded Room. So life has been super chaotic for me lately due to a very stressful work trip I have to take every year to a huge trade show. I wonder what Angel does for a living.
Trade show, huh?
Yeah, maybe she sells, like, electronics or something. Monica's gears are turning and nothing good is coming up. I can see that.
Wait, did you go straight to sex toys?
Porn star?
Well, yeah. What's the abbreviation for that big show every year?
AVN.
Hey, picturing.
Angel, if you're going to AVN and you're not inviting us, then that's no good. I'd love to go there. I've been pretty confused on what day it is ever since I got back, and the random days Padded Room is dropping hasn't helped at all.
Right?
Yeah. to be honest, Angel, we don't know when we're doing the show. We just happen
flip
to,
a coin.
Yeah, we bump into each other at the 7-Eleven, and then we go, oh, you want to go do the? Yeah, okay, let's go. It was kind of great that we didn't have to wait a full week for the last episode. Now that I'm getting caught up, congrats on the new spawn, Darian. Why, thank you, Angel. It's very nice of you to say that. I love the Night Watch / Day Watch movies, which I saw several years ago. Happy to have the chance to revisit these, since I haven't seen either since the first time I saw them. Darian, I love that you chose a murderous murder of crows for the killer pack question. I'm partial to them, and that would have been my first choice as well. That's all for now, Angel. Oh, my. She sent us a picture.
Oh, yeah?
She has a tattoo.
Of a crow?
How did you know?
Very cool.
Very sexy.
Oh, nice.
Angel. Awesome.
They did a nice job on that.
Yes, ma'am. I love that, and I love that about Angel.
Angel's a brunette.
She is.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay for brunette.
Yay for Angel. That's going into my private file, Angel. It'll be eligible for probation in 3 to 5. Okay, we got a couple voicemails here. I believe these both to be Gracie's Poppy, though I could be incorrect.
Is there anything in the junk mail?
I looked.
Okay.
But to be honest, if Tony's writing in, I went back like a full week and a half just to see. So, because yeah. I don't know when, he was used to write in like right before the show on Sundays.
Right.
So now I have no fucking idea. Tony, if you wrote in, sorry. Here comes GP.
Hey, GP.
Hey, GP.
Just real quick, you're doing the unnameable right now.
Yes, sir.
And you're just talking about how the image of the entity or whatever the fuck that thing is imprinted on the glass, and you're like, oh, bullshit.
Yes.
I most likely is, but that just reminds me of something that happened to me. Way back when Sarah was born, I took up a side job, cleaning houses.
Mm-hmm.
And lady wanted me to clean the outside windows of the upstairs.
Okay.
But, you know, it was fine. And I'm cleaning the windows, and I see this imprint of a bird in the window. Apparently the bird flew in the fucking window, and you just see the body, and you see the wings spread out. And it was kind of cool. I mean, that sucks for the bird, but to see an imprint of the bird in a window, and that just reminded me of that. I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you. Oh. I'll get back to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That reminds me of, for about a month, you guys have lived in Reno for a while.
Yeah.
You remember a place called the Adventure Inn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The weird sex hotel? I worked there for a month.
Really?
Yes. I could tell you some stories, which I am about to do, as a matter of fact. Most of those, it's basically a crazy sex hotel where all the rooms are themed. Yeah, like a jungle room, an old west room.
Space room
that had a full swimming pool in it. What else? There was like a drive-in room where the bed was like the back of a car and there was a big screen.
Wow.
Anyway, all these rooms, they tore it. It's not there anymore. They tore it down.
Right.
But all these rooms were just fucking ceiling to floor mirrors, at least on one wall.
Wow.
And I swear to Christ, the first thing anybody did when they got into the room was put their genitalia up against the mirrors.
Oh, I'm sure.
So before they could leave, I was like the assistant manager or something. Before they could leave, and I would have to go in there and make sure that they didn't damage like the hot tub jets or anything.
Oh, right.
First thing you see when you walk in is like two boobs, like the grease stains from the skin.
Oh, yeah.
Right up against the window, and usually one, like a cock one, that was like off to the side. Yeah, there it is. There's your fucking boobs and your dick.
So do you clean it with a black light?
I didn't clean it.
Oh, okay.
I just had to inspect it. I did not touch anything.
I wonder what that place would look like if you signed a black light.
Oh, you don't want it. You don't want that. It would light up like the 4th of July.
Right?
How did you get semen on the ceiling? Right. Did you bring a ladder with you? Jesus Christ. Alrighty. Very cool, GP. He called back.
Think so. Turning Japanese, I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. Turning Japanese. You know how long it took me to get that soy fucking song out of my head?
I know!
Back in.
You can thank Monica for that one.
Oh my god. How's it going?
Good.
Let's see. Let's start with immersion therapy first, The Fury. Mm. I have not seen this movie since I don't know, how the fuck old it was. Like, it had to be early 80s. It was on HBO.
Wow. Wow.
And the only thing I remembered about it was the bleeding eyeballs.
Yeah.
I guess I liked it because it stuck with me. And I also was, you know, pretty cool. So I had the opportunity to watch it again with this. And that's fucking exploding. That one I totally forgot about. John Cassavetes being, you know, exploding. That was fucking beautiful. great show. Great old show. So, you know, I loved it. That's it.
Awesome.
I have an idea.
All right.
Speaking of poking it with a stick. I have this thing running in my head. You guys want to do movies. This is an idea. This is, you know, do it with it what you want.
Okay.
I was just thinking of you guys doing a short. And I know you don't really like horror comedies, but this is going to fall in the horror comedy thing. Some guy, you get Darian walking around with some guy doing something, and it's something that goes totally against the horror trope. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? Gotta poke you with a fucking stick. What are you doing? That, or like, you walk into a house and you hear a noise, and it's like, all, it's all dark and all that, and the guy starts walking in the house and doesn't, and you're like, dude, light switch, right there. And then he turns on the light switch, and there's like Michael Myers, and he's like, oh, well, you got me, and he slinks off. Touch and vibe the real world with horror, you know, with the horror mentality.
I like it.
You know,
I
like, you know, it's just an idea, it's just a thought. If you're like, come up with ideas or whatever.
I love it.
Let's see. I was going to talk to you about Black Star Canyon. That might be a little bit involved. It, sort of it is, he took down all the Black Star Canyon episodes.
Okay.
And he's putting it back in novel form. I finished reading the whole series, and I fucking loved the ending. I loved how he tied it all together.
Cool.
But I'll get into that later.
Right on.
As for educating Miss Monica, is she, like, is it the Wolfman? The Benicio Del Toro one? That kind of sounds...
Oh, you got it.
I don't know. Anyway, that's it. I'm Dr. Beach Pete. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I can't believe we got it.
Good guess.
Yeah, I was lost on that one.
You even named the right one.
It was specifically the Benicio Del Toro? God, I only watched that once.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this isn't very good. It actually wasn't bad.
But I had a dream about wolves, so I was like, I need a good Wolfman movie.
Yeah.
I would have went with... maybe Jack Nicholson Wolf?
I passed that one, and I was like, I don't know. I really have a hard-on for this one.
For Benicio Del Toro?
Well, that movie, not him.
Anthony Hopkins.
Was it Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, God.
Well, you know.
Yeah, worth a shot anyway. He does like old men.
Right.
All right, that's it for the listener mail. You guys got anything for Angel or Gracie's Poppy?
Thanks, guys.
Of course.
We're going to keep it on Tuesday.
Tuesday is going to be the magic day. So, but I mean, by all means, write in anytime you feel like it or call in.
Absolutely.
On Sunday, so they feel like it's still Sunday.
Set your alarm, set your reminders on your phones for Sunday, and then if you're like me, you're going to go like, oh, yeah, I'll do it later. And then around Monday night, you'll fuck, I got to call those guys.
Yeah, work happens.
Yeah, and then you're good. Very cool. Let's get ourselves into a movie here, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a car in 50 miles.
You know what I just thought of, right?
Kenny and Darla.
You believe that story?
That they had to go looking for her head?
They only found the car.
They never found her head.
What's he doing?
The hell is that? He dumped something down that pipe.
Wrapped in a sheet. Is this your idea of a little adventure?
I'm just gonna look.
Hello?
You know the part in scary movies where somebody does something really stupid and everybody hates them for it? This is it.
Every 23rd spring, for 23 days, it gets to eat.
Eat.
What is that thing?
Go, 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 go!
It's stuck in reverse!
He must have 500, maybe 600 bodies down there.
You've got something it likes, one of you.
Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. This is Jeepers Creepers from 2001, written and directed by Victor Salva. Yeah, that Victor Salva. Starring Gina Phillips, Justin Long, and Jonathan Breck. You guys know that this was inspired by an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Really?
Yeah. The pretty much everything right up to the point where it gets supernatural was basically a true story. So basically, as I recall, and I could pull up the information if you want, there was like a really lily white suburban boring couple going for a drive.
Uh-huh.
Some ass wipe in a RV like got up on their ass and then sped around them and took off.
Hmm.
And then like 4 or 5 miles down the road, they drive past him as he's unloading bodies and they see him doing it. All right. So, yeah, that's what happened on Unsolved Mysteries. And that kind of inspired the, you know, the first part of the story. So that's crazy. Wow. We start off out in the Florida... rural Florida, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of just open fields and like a country setting environment type of thing. And we meet our two main characters, Patricia and Derry. Now, I could have swore Derry was going to be short for Darian, in which case I would have been upset. Me and a bunch of black guys were the only Darians allowed. Turns out it's short for Darius, which I think is actually more black than Darian.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Darius or Darian?
Darius.
Darius,
Darius is more black. Mm-hmm. God damn it. I got to black it up a little bit. All right.
Well, I can tell you how.
Oh, hey. All right. I'm not sure what that means. They're driving home. It's spring break, and they're driving home to see their mom. It's brother and sister. They're playing like fun little road games, you know, making names and sayings out of license plates and shit like that. We get a little backstory. Apparently, Patricia recently broke up with her boyfriend, and that's evident to us because she's driving back with Derry instead of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
So that's a little strange. I mean, it's not, but really, who gives a shit? Did anybody else get a gay vibe from Derry?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Uh-huh.
There's no, I mean, because he brings up her boyfriend, so normally the next thing would be, well, where's your girlfriend? But that just never even gets broached. And then that fucking tattoo.
I didn't think that was anything. Wow.
What was the tattoo?
It was a rose on his belly button.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you get much gayer than a rose on a dude?
Every rose has its thorn.
And it's in his belly button? See, now this is where the weird stuff with Victor Salva comes into play. Because we get an awful lot of belly button footage in this movie. And knowing what we know about Victor Salva, it's like, ew!
I just didn't see any of that.
I know, but knowing what we know about the director, it just kind of gets a little creepy, if you ask me. Regardless, whatever. They're having a good time. They're like, you know, playing their little games, and they got all that shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, they come up on an RV, and they make like a little saying out of the license plate. Then they go around it because it's going super slow. And then they keep going, and then pretty soon, this gnarly milk... I'm assuming it's a milk truck.
Yeah.
Like, from 1940s style. Rusted out. With some kind of a supercharged engine comes barreling up on them.
Yeah.
Gets right on their ass, keeps blowing the horn at them. They're like, oh, what do we do? Pull over, go faster, I don't know. They're in some kind of like a classic car.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really, there's like zero performance in this thing.
Right.
Yeah, right? I don't know what you do with it. I don't know how she even, it's Patricia's car. I don't know how she got that thing. Maybe her grandmother willed it to her or some shit. I don't know. Anyway, that's fun. Yeah, so the milk truck actually doesn't run them off the road, but they kind of panic and freak out a little bit and end up careening off the road into a field. Okay, that's pretty scary, and we're kind of shaken up a little bit, but we take a minute just to gather ourselves, take a leak, get back on the road. Already the car is starting to act up.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a Harley Davidson a little bit. That's when it starts up. It's my impression of a car.
Okay.
I've been working on that. Or Harley Davidson, depending on which neighborhood I'm in. All right, so they take off. They get about 6-7 miles down the road. They come across this old abandoned church where they spot the milk truck parked outside. As they're driving by, they see this big dude in a giant, dirty trench coat and a crazy hat. And he's unloading these sheets out of the back of the milk truck. And they're dead bodies.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that. They're all wrapped up with rope and they're white sheets with red stains on them, and he's throwing them down some kind of a drainage pipe.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fucking scary to begin with, but pretty soon he like turns and looks at them and watches them as they drive past. We don't get a good look at this guy except that he's fucking huge.
Yeah.
And we don't want any part of this dude.
Uh-uh.
So they're like, yeah, we need to get the fuck out of here now. They punch the gas and go as fast as they can. Pretty soon, here comes the milk truck again.
Bad business.
Yeah. This time, right up on their ass and, like, smashing into them, rear-ending them as they go. Again, they go careening off the road in a very weird move, knowing what we know about the whole picture of this movie. The milk truck just keeps going.
Yeah.
I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, I did too.
It doesn't really make sense, but whatever. They get out. They're like, oh, that guy's a real asshole. We need to call somebody and get some help. Which does make sense. That's probably exactly what I would do. But yeah, we have like a brief moment of heroism here from Derry. He's like, hey, those are probably dead bodies. They put the guy put down the drainage pipe there. Maybe we should go back there and see if anybody's alive or they need help. No! No! No, you do not.
Well, wait a minute. You would.
What do you mean?
You would, because you want to poke it with a stick.
Well, yeah. Damn it, she's right. It would have to be a really long stick, though, because I'm not going down into that fucking thing.
Right. Big old tree branch.
Yeah, I'll get like some tent poles or something.
Yeah.
Figure that shit out. That's pretty nasty. They go back and forth about this, and eventually he talks her into doing it. He's like, what if that was you down there? Okay. Well, I mean, realistically, if that was me down there, I'd prefer that you send the paramedics, not come down here with your belly button out like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
So they have like a moment of conscience, and then they go back there to the fucking the abandoned church. They get there, they see the drainage pipe. It's it kind of goes down at an angle, and it's dark as shit down there. So Derry's kind of like leaning in, and she's kind of keeping an eye on things. Eventually, she grabs his feet to hold him while he goes further down into the pipe.
Yeah, because he's hearing something down there.
Yeah, you can hear like moaning and movement and shit.
Yeah.
That sucks. Well, now you have to go down there, dude.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I mean,
he forgot his stick, though.
No stick. All he's got is a fucking belly button. Shit. But eventually they spot the movement, and a bunch of rats come out of the pipe, which causes Derry to freak out, which causes Patricia to lose the grip on his feet, and he goes sliding right down the pipe. Now, something we glazed over before we even got into any of this is that apparently there's a local high school legend from somewhere in this area about two kids that went missing in 1978. Apparently they thought they were in some kind of a nasty car accident, but the heads were never recovered or the bodies were never recovered. These two don't really know the full story, other than some kids went missing in 1978.
Right.
All right, that's creepy. Now Derry's down there at the bottom of the fucking drainage area, hole in the ground, whatever it is. He's all right. He's got a cut on his hand, and his shirt is ripped open right above the belly button.
Yeah.
Ew! This guy has a thing for belly buttons on young men. Monica, it's creepy. You don't find that creepy.
I just figured it was the way guys dressed in the 80s, so it wasn't like...
This is 2001!
I know, but it was...
I don't know, man. It's just weird. See, whatever. I'm not going to get into it. Anyway.
And his shoe came off.
Yeah, he did lose a shoe, also.
I wonder if Justin Long ever went, God, you really want me to wear this?
Yeah. So let me get this straight. Full t-shirt, just missing the belly button area. All right. I might have some objections. I don't have a very attractive belly button, though, to be honest with you.
Probably gave him extra money for it.
Yeah. He's doing, like, belly button dances on the side. It's probably how he got this job. All right, so he's down there now. He's all pissed off, and he does a very uncharacteristic manly thing, which is tear the shirt sleeve off and make a bandage out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, I mean, that's a badass move.
Yeah,
but you got to make sure you have some biceps when you do it. You know what I mean? If you got skinny little arms like Justin Long, take a sock or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Use something else. Anyway, he makes a bandage for his hand. He's cool. He gets up. He starts looking around. We hear that moaning again. So he pulls out, I think it was a lighter or a flashlight, and he starts looking around this place. What we have here is basically a bunch of dead bodies that have been preserved and, like, I guess stapled to the walls and the ceiling. Is that what you guys got?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got, like, some kind of a lacquer on them, which is keeping them fresh. But he finds one dead body that's one of the guys that was all wrapped up in the sheets. Opens up the sheet. It's a younger kid, and he's pretty close to death, and he's got a giant scar running down his midsection.
Yeah. That was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, he freaks out for a second, grabs Justin Long's leg, and then expires. Now, this poses a couple of interesting questions, I guess. Number one, why would the creeper go to the length to sew him back up?
And then throw him down there?
Yeah, unless, I guess the creeper is just some kind of a DIYer, and he's decorating his home with all these dead people?
Maybe.
He was going to come back for parts later.
It could be. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of weird.
It looked like something was moving in his chest.
You think so?
Because like when they took the sheet off or whatever, it looked like right where the incision was, it was like moving right before he died. But I don't know.
You put something in there. I didn't see that. Did you see that? That's really gnarly. I don't care for that.
Well, let's come back to this part after we get to the end.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's crazy. Eventually, Derry gets out of there. And by then, Patricia was supposed to be watching the road in case the milk truck came back. He gets out of there. He finds Patricia sitting in her car. He beats on the door. And now he's gone almost catatonic.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's seen all these dead guys. And I should also mention that two of the dead guys had class rings from 1978.
Yes.
So theoretically, those are our two missing kids of urban legend and lore. Okay. Mm. All right, now we're officially in freakout mode. This is 2001, so what we have is those old school Nokia phones. Remember those?
Oh, guys? Yeah, I noticed
those things
that.
Are like the size of, I don't know,
a watch?
Old cell phones. And there's no battery on this motherfucker. And even if there was, there's goddamn no signal out there because those things only worked for 8 seconds at a time, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
So they just go hauling ass in their old car. They get to a diner. That's cool. They pull up to the diner. There's people in there. Looks like your standard, side of the road diner / gas station type of place.
Yeah.
They get in there. They're kind of panicking a little bit. And we got to call the cops. Call the cops. Just call the cops. We saw some really gnarly shit.
They all just stare at them.
Yeah. That's probably what I'd do too. What the fuck is these guys' problem?
They all look like they were in on it.
The first time I saw this, I kind of got that idea. Eventually, Derry is gone into a full-on panic attack. Patricia grabs him and slams him up against the wall next to a payphone, and she's like, "Hey, calm your ass down. We're going to get the cops over here. We're going to tell them what we saw. They can go to the fucking house, see all the dead guys, and we can finally go home to mom so she can do your goddamn laundry, you fucking slob." Right. All right. As they're having this conversation, the payphone next to him rings.
Ring, ring.
Did you notice that fucking payphone? Yeah. It had the old school rotary thing.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
My grandma had one of those. I used to just doing the thing with it. You know what I mean? The little... Take you 25 minutes to dial a number. It was still neat watching that thing go around. The phone rings for 5 minutes and everybody's just staring at it and them. And then eventually Patricia picks up the phone. Basically, there's a lady on the other line, and she is basically describing to them everything that has and is going to happen.
Yeah.
She's like, "Did you see the cats yet?" And they're like, "Who is this?" And she's like, "You're Patricia, and your brother Derry is there too, and you just saw where it lives." And she's basically running them down the whole course of the evening and what's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound good, man.
No.
She explains that they're going to see some cats. The thing has caught their scent and is not going to stop until it gets whatever it wants. And she plays a little tune for him in the background. It's the Jeepers Creepers tune.
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Hey, if you hear this song, you stop what you're doing and you get the fuck out of there as fast as you can.
Run."
They're really getting weirded out by this. So they're yelling at her, "Who is this? How do you know me? What the fuck is your problem?" And eventually they just hang up on her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's pretty cool. A little creepy. I don't know if I hang out to actually talk to the cops at this point. I think I would just want to get back to my mom's house.
Yeah, just get out of there.
But at the same time, well, I don't know.
If the car will make it.
There's that, and then apparently this thing knows how to find me, which is really nasty.
Yeah. What if you jumped in a swimming pool with lots of chlorine in it?
I guess. Maybe. Yeah, I'll buy that.
I don't know.
If that thing is coming after me, I'll try anything. Try to figure out which part it wants, and then I'll just cut it off myself and hand it to it. There, get the fuck out of here. Leave me alone.
Right?
All right, that's creepy. So now we cut forward a couple hours, I guess. The cops are there, and they're questioning Patricia and Derry. They tell him about the old house with all the dead guys at the bottom. They tell him about the whole exchange with this fucking milk truck with the vanity plates beating you, or be eating you, whatever. They give him the whole story. The cops are like, yeah, it's a pretty weird story you got there, dude. You're just going to have to hang out. We're going to take you, follow you back out to the old schoolhouse, and we'll take a look. As they're having this conversation, the waitress there at the diner like starts freaking out, and everybody starts running to the windows. The waitress runs over to Derry and Patricia, and she's like, there's some guy going through your car out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. So they go running out there, and we find all of Derry's dirty clothes splayed all over the parking lot. The waitress comes out, follows him out there, and she's like, it was a big fellow with long gray hair, and he was holding your clothes under his nose and taking real big whiffs of them.
It's the director.
Probably was. Probably was. Fucking underwear sniffer.
Yep.
Derry's like, oh, great. Great. You see, there's somebody after us. He's going through my dirty clothes. And then he picks up one of his underwears, and he's got his name written in the back of it.
There's my name, too.
Come on. Come on, man. Now, I never went to college, but I did. I was in the military, and I did not mark my fucking underwear.
His mom probably did.
Well, then I would throw that underwear away because I didn't want anybody seeing it to make fun of me. That's just me, though, I guess. I don't have a fucking belly button tattoo either. All right, that's pretty creepy. I mean, fuck, now this fucking guy's going through his laundry and sniffing it. We just
see why you don't wear underwear?
Monica is in no danger of the creeper. All right, now we're officially weirded out. Cops are like, all right, I don't know what's going on here. Let's just go back to that schoolhouse and we'll see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the Patricia and Derry hop in their old beater. The cops are in the cop car following them, and they're headed on the freeway back to the old school or church house. This part's actually badass. It's probably my favorite part of the whole movie. We start off in Patricia and Derry's car, and we get a little... So some kind of tenuous conversation about, you think I'm crazy, and you don't know what's going on, you don't know what I saw down there, and then the camera pans back to the cop car, where the radio goes off, and it's like, hey, I think those kids are pyros, this fucking old church is on fire, and it's gone up like a candlestick. Mm-hmm. Then we go back up to Patricia and Derry's car, except this time we go all the way around to the front window, where you can see the creeper standing on top of the cop car, just kind of riding it like a surfboard.
Yeah.
I thought that was badass.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's just got like his trench coat blowing in the wind, and he's just standing there like, fuck yeah. Oh, shit. The cops hear like the thumping on the hood, and they're like, what the hell? And then we go to the top of the car, and the creeper has produced like an old school medieval battle axe.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that thing, but I'll take one.
Yeah, that was badass.
He pulls the partner out first, and then the cop that's driving the car starts swerving. And then we cut back to Derry and Patricia's car, and we just see something hit the hood of their car and then go bouncing off. And they kind of freak out and start careening all over the road. They eventually skid to like a stop, and they're like, what the hell? They get out of the car. The cop car behind them starts like careening all over the road too, and then stops. Then we cut back to Patricia and Derry, where they realize what it was that hit their car. It was the severed head of the cop that was questioning them at the diner.
Yeah, how'd the cop car stop?
Well, we're going to find out in a second, because apparently the creeper, after he decapitated the second cop, got into the car and was driving it.
That's right.
Who the fuck taught the creeper how to drive?
Years of experience.
What the fuck? Fuck you. You go wait in line at the DMV? I don't think so. Now they're just standing there outside of their car, and they're looking at the cop car like, who the fuck is driving this thing? We see the creeper get out of the driver's side and just start walking towards him. He actually walks just about halfway to where they are, picks up the cop's severed head and starts sniffing it. Now, this is the first real look we get. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, real look we get at the creeper.
Yeah.
He's got like a skullet going on, mm-hmm. where he's like bald, but he's got long gray hair that comes out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very good look. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Creepy.
Well, yeah, obviously. he picks up the cop's head and he just starts, he holds it like from behind and he just starts sniffing it in like, I don't know if he licked it or he just kind of like rubbed his face on it or something.
Yeah, it was hard to tell because it's so dark.
I thought he
yeah.
licked it. I thought he went.
He probably did.
Started making out with it.
And then he spins it around and then he basically starts making out with it. And that's pretty weird. But then you see him like pull the cop's head back and you realize that he's like biting the tongue out of the cop's head. Delightful.
Right?
All right. That's nasty. About this time, Patricia and Derry are like, dude, back in the car. We're getting the fuck out of here now.
Right?
So they get back.
They got to get a head start.
Hey-o! You see this? All weekend long, this is what I'm dealing with. They're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. So they hop in their car and they go hauling ass as fast as they can. The plan at this point is to get just anywhere where there's a fucking phone so they can mm-hmm. call more cops. So they're driving. Eventually they come to like this weird lone structure in like just off the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a light on, so maybe there's somebody in there. I don't know. They pull off. They go running up there to the what I guess is the front door. It's like an enclosed porch. But just off to the side is like a weird corn yard. It's not like a full field, but there's some corn stalks with a scarecrow.
Yeah.
And it's place is fucking creepy. They start walking towards the front door and they hear a voice from inside the enclosed porch area. It's this old lady. She lives there. She's like, who are you? And they're like, hey, we are having a serious issue. We'd like to use your phone. She's like, oh, I don't have a phone, and I have never had anybody to call. What she does have is about 1,000 cats.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We just found Jessica Feeney's house. I was wondering what she was up to.
Crazy cat lady.
Crazy cat lady. You just see all these goddamn cats all over that enclosed porch area. Basically, she's telling them to go fuck themselves, and she doesn't have a phone. They're like, okay, great. Well, just fucking be careful, because there's this dude running around out here and he's biting the tongues out of heads. So as they turn to leave, they realize that the scarecrow that was in the corn yard, well, it's the creeper. He's removed the scarecrow and is now just hanging out there where the scarecrow was.
Yeah.
The old lady's like, you get the fuck out of my corn area, mister. And she grabs a shotgun and just goes walking out there.
I like how she said, that's not my scarecrow.
Yeah.
No. I was like, whoa.
No, that's not.
No.
Which makes me wonder just how well she knows her scarecrow.
Yeah.
That might be a little strange.
Hmm.
Did you guys recognize the creepy cat lady?
I recognize her, but I couldn't tell from what.
I couldn't tell you her name. I think it's Eileen something, but she was Mrs. Peacock in Clue.
Ah, yes.
Which I have watched 100,000 times easily. Anyway, she goes out there with her shotgun. She's like, you got to the count of 10 to get out of my corn area. And the creeper.
Cornhole.
Cornhole. My corn reefus. Well, the creeper just stands there, and they're like, Trish and Derry are like, you should just go back inside as fast as you can. And she's like, okay, boom, and she shoots the creeper. I don't know what happened, but somehow it caused an explosion.
Yeah.
Like, in the corn yard. Like, the whole fucking thing just, like, everything just blew up.
I think he, like, just jumped.
It could be. I don't know. But there was an awful lot of dirt being kicked up and corn flying everywhere. The creeper itself, like, goes up into the air. And then she, like, turns around. And she hears all her cats inside the house being fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, my babies! And she goes running inside with her shotgun. And then we hear two more shots. And then everything is just silent. Trish and Derry just kind of stand there for a second, and then they see what is presumably the old lady walk back up to the front of the enclosed porch area.
This part was badass.
This part was gnarly. It's the old lady, all right, but she's not walking of her own volition. She's being carried by the creeper. The creeper, like, pushes her through the door, and we see about 50 cats come pouring out.
Yeah.
She has a lot of fucking cats. Now, this part's pretty cool. Unfortunately, it didn't make it into the movie itself, but the creeper actually had a line right here. He was supposed to say, she doesn't smell so good or something like that. And if you watch that scene, you can see him mouth the words, but the line is just not there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I'm glad he didn't say it.
Yeah? Why not?
Because it's more mysterious that he doesn't talk.
Well, he was whistling earlier.
Yeah, but we don't hear a voice.
Ah, yeah, you're right. What if he had a creepy voice?
She doesn't smell so good.
No, that's not a good voice.
She doesn't smell so good. What if he had like a Don Knotts voice?
Oh, you know, my God.
I don't think she smells good. That's my worst Don Knotts impression ever. I apologize. Anyway, he throws the old lady right at Derry. They go running, jump in the car, fire it up. The creeper just kind of walks out in front of the car. And Trish is driving now. She's like, I got you now, motherfucker. And she drives right into him and runs him over. This part is pretty badass, because this is usually the part where they just keep going and then it catches up to him. But she's like, I've seen horror movies. She throws it in reverse, backs over him, drives over him again like 6 or 8 times, just back right? and forth. Finally, they back over him the last time. They're just kind of like looking at the husk that's laying in, on the road in front of him. And this fucking thing, like, a wing shoots out.
Yeah.
It just like, it's almost like a squashed bug after it's really been squashed. Yeah. And it's just kind of like spasming. Just one wing just shoots out and like kind of flaps for a second. And then it just kind of goes limp on the road. And you're like, okay, well, glad we got that sorted out. Let's get the fuck out of here. So they go driving off thinking all is well. As they should. They get to apparently what is like the next jurisdiction or something like that. They get to a completely different police precinct office area, which is still in a rural type of a situation. They get there. They talk to the captain in charge. They tell him the whole story. They're like, okay, well, we're just going to, you know, check this out and see what's going on. Just hang out here in the office. You can call your mom. They tell him all this stuff. Pretty soon the power goes out. Fuck. All right. Well, we know that's not a good thing, right? So this captain guy, who apparently there's like a holding area underneath this office, he's got to go down there and make sure that all the people in the holding area are good. So he's walking down the hall with his flashlight, looking at all the prisoners. He gets to the last one, and the prisoners are still in there, but they've got their backs to the wall, and they're petrified. He's like, hey, what's wrong with you guys? And they just kind of like point in the down the hallway. And we see like the wall has been penetrated. The steel bars have been ripped open, and we get to see the creeper now, minus the trench coat, just eating some random dude.
Yeah.
Just full on, just like a corn cob, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Ugh, nasty. He's like, oh, shit. He pulls the gun, starts shooting. The creeper goes up on the ceiling and just goes, like, taking off up into the main building. From there, we see the creeper, like, kill a few more cops. Derry and Patricia get rushed to another holding area down at the end of the hall. They're supposed to be safe there. But as they're doing that, we get to meet the lady that was on the phone earlier. Her name's Giselle.
What was the first part of her name?
Out. Out.
What did I miss? Jizz?
Oh, Monica. He set you up and you walked right into it. So she comes in and they're like, hey, something's going on. You need to get the fuck out of here. And she's like, wait, I need to talk to Trish and Derry. So she like rounds them up and she's like, basically we get the backstory of this creeper thing and how she's like a psychic and she helps them out with missing persons. And now that they're putting all the clues together that she gave them earlier in the movie about like the cats, staying away from that song, which they heard on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what is probably might possibly be happening. This thing comes alive every 22 years, was it?
23rd
spring, something like
that. Yeah, something like that. And it basically has to eat enough parts to keep it alive. So it needs a heart, it has to eat a heart. It needs some eyes, it has to eat somebody's eyes, and so on and so forth.
Tongue.
All that shit. But it's very picky about what it eats. It has to like catch your scent, and once it's got your scent, then it'll follow you wherever you go until it gets the part that it needs and eats it, and there you go.
Yeah, it likes to scare its prey because it lives off of fear.
Yes, which is creepy.
Yeah.
Apparently, he wasn't too particular after he got run over, though, because he was just eating, like, random inmates.
Yeah.
And I think you can do a lot better. Like for legs, you want to go to, like, maybe the St. Louis Rams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
For arms, you want to get, like, a Conor McGregor type, you know, something like that. Not just random dudes in a holding cell.
Well, it is Florida.
What the fuck? What's so special about these two kids anyway? I have no idea. Anyway,
really good underwear
and belly buttons. all right, so she gives him the full scoop. As they're having this conversation, the creeper comes like up on the wall and around the corner, and it's chasing them, and the cops are chasing it. Giselle just kind of like stops, gets down on her knees, and starts praying. The creeper comes around. Derry and Trish go running. The creeper like lands behind her and like grabs her by the head and sniffs her. Apparently, she didn't have any good parts because he just lets her go from there and goes taking off after Derry and Trish.
Yeah.
This part's pretty cool. Derry and Trish get upstairs and they are inside what is, I assume, an interrogation room because it's got one of those two-way mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Trish is like checking herself out in the mirror. On the other side of the mirror watching her is the creeper, and he's like fogging up the glass and like getting all pervy with it. All right. I wonder who directed this movie.
Yeah, right.
Jeez. Eventually, the creeper just smashes in the glass, grabs Derry, and just as like the SWAT team and all the cops come in with their shotguns and stuff. So now we have like a little bit of a standoff where the cops are all pointing their guns at Derry and the creeper. And the creeper at this point does something that's kind of cool. He like opens his head up in a weird. What do you think that was all about? He gives like a scream and
scream,
then,
yeah.
Like these fucking.
I was trying to think what animal has that.
Yeah,
they almost look like gills
mm-hmm.
a little bit, the way they opened up. Well, it does like a flower bud thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just trying to scare them, like an intimidation factor.
Okay.
You know, make itself look bigger than it already is.
Or peacocking. That meant I'm pissed.
Yeah. That means fuck off. I just ate a bunch of dudes to get better parts, and now you want to shoot me up. I'm going to have to go eat even more dudes. Running out of time, you cocks. Okay, so that we got like a little standoff here because Derry is being held by the creeper between the creeper and the cops. Just behind the creeper, though, is a big window.
Yeah.
Trish comes out. At this point, we weren't just sure who the creeper was after. We knew it was either Trish or Derry. Trish comes out and she starts like trying to reason with the creeper. She's like, "Hey, I'm stronger. He's just a little gay guy. Leave him alone. Look at his fucking belly button, for Christ's sakes. Why don't you take me and leave him?" And Derry's like, "Shut up, Trish! Shut up!" Eventually, the creeper gets sick of this shit, so he just kind of throws his wings back, which breaks the window, and then he goes flying off into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Trish goes running outside. The cops don't do anything, by the way. They don't even... I mean, what can you do? Because you're going to shoot... I'd just shoot them both at this point. I don't know.
Be better for Derry.
It's probably why I'm not a cop.
I'll put you out of your misery now.
I prefer that. What's going to happen?
Right?
This fucking thing's going to eat me.
Derry, give me the word. I'll shoot you right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, there's the word. Do it. Yeah. Trish goes running outside chasing him, and we see the creeper flying off into the night with Derry. Then we cut to somewhere else, presumably like an abandoned schoolhouse or factory or something, and we hear the Jeepers Creepers song playing, and we hear Derry screaming, and then we cut to Derry's dead body, which is for the most part intact, except its eyeballs are gone, and you can see right through his whole head.
Yeah.
And then you see the creeper like look through the eye sockets with these beautiful brown eyes. Yeah. I guess.
Uh-huh.
So that was actually Justin Long. In the creeper makeup at the end.
Oh,
was?
Really?
Yeah, doing the eyeball look-through thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's... Well, after that, we cut back to the police precinct, and we have a little sit-down with Giselle and Trish, and she's like, "Yeah, I saw it, man. I saw the whole thing before it happened, and I did what I could to warn you guys, but I don't... Most of the time, I can't prevent it, because it's just kind of set the way it is. So, sorry."
Yeah.
Sucks, man.
Yeah.
Fucking creeper, dude. Mm-hmm. Every 23 years, he comes out and eats a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much your movie, except if you watch the very, very end of the credits.
Wow.
Yeah, you get to see the milk truck fly past one more time, honking its horn like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
That guy drives like a dick. I guess he can, though. He's the creeper.
Yeah.
How do you suppose he even drives? He has wings.
Save his energy.
Well, that what it is? Because he has more than one dead body.
Oh, that's true.
To move around.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you need some storage space.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Can't really rent a U-Haul, right? When you're the creeper.
No. It'd be funny, though.
The U-Haul office. How much is your security deposit?
But that part where you were talking about the him sewing up the guy. Yeah. Well, at the end, remember he was kind of working on the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I figured he was just like a tailored kind of dude.
Yeah, he's very DIY with it, with all the dead body artwork and all that shit. Yeah, I guess you got 23 years to kill. You got to keep yourself occupied, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Jeepers Creepers, kids. What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it. I could easily, like, along the weird back roads that people don't go, I could easily see some shit going like this going down.
I wish it would.
Oh, fuck you. The good news is that I got really shitty parts, so I think I'd be fine. I don't know. Maybe some of my more athletic friends might be in trouble. You're on your own. I'm ordering a pizza. I have cystic fibrosis, by the way, if anybody's listening.
I do hope, because they said for part three they were going to explain more what the creeper is and his background is. So I hope we do get to find out.
That'd be cool. Nice. Yeah, yeah. I would love to get deeper into this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nowhere good, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good show, kids. There is a little controversy involving the writer and director. And if you watch this now knowing what that's all about, I think it takes a little bit of a wacky turn with all the belly button stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, Monica?
I didn't realize there was that tattoo around his...
You didn't see that?
I thought it was like just... I don't know, dirt, blood, something. Well, no. I wasn't really paying that much of attention.
Yeah, because Giselle referenced it. She's like, "That you have a rose tattoo right next to your belly button."
Oh, wow.
You know, I never thought of the first one being weird at all, but now that you said that, I just watched part two.
Yeah?
I remember the scene where the boys are on top of the bus, like, suntanning.
Hello!
Their shirts.
Hello!
And I saw them stand up, and I was like, huh. That's kind of odd. You'd figure the girls would be up there.
Just saying. Just saying, Monica. I mean, whatever you're into.
All right.
Little wacky.
Hmm.
That's Jeepers Creepers, people.
Yeah, check it out.
Definitely. I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, it's definitely worth checking out.
I want to know if Sarah saw it already.
Probably. I'd be willing to bet.
Hmm.
Right on. Let's take us a little break, and we'll do some other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Crap! If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back. Little Jeepers Creepers from Gravedigger there for you.
Hell yeah.
Hope you could understand that shit. All right, you maniacs, it's time we got ourselves into the Padded Room Trivia Challenge.
Padded Room Trivia Challenge.
Oh boy.
This week's trivia topic, John Carpenter movies. At present, Monica leads 3-0. I'm rooting for you, buddy, at this point. I want to see a comeback. I want to see a solid comeback starting right now. Monica, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, are you ready?
Sure, why not?
Maybe you should play that in the background for him.
What?
LL Cool J.
Don't call it a comeback. Yeah. Been here for years. Okay, I've got the names of 5 John Carpenter films. I'm going to drop some clues. First one to correctly name the film gets the point. Most points gets the round. Starting right now. Albino Children.
Village of the Damned.
Point Monica.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the name of the movie. I knew what it was, but I just couldn't think of the name of it.
That's what you always say.
Those kids were creepy.
Yeah, they were.
Number 2, sunglasses.
They Live.
Point Monica. Come on, buddy. Number 3, Antichrist. Alice Cooper.
Oh,
Prince of Darkness.
Yes.
Point Monica. We're going to keep going, even though Monica already won the round. Number 4, Alien.
The Thing.
No.
No?
Not a horror movie. Pretty much a not very good knockoff of E.T.
No clue.
Floating Spheres. Jeff Bridges.
Starman?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
God, Monica's going to sweep this one. Last one. Mental Institution.
I knew you were going to throw this fucking movie in there, shit. And I can't remember the name of it.
The Ward.
Yep, that's the one.
I had to mix it up a little bit.
I was like, he's going to throw that movie in there.
You're goddamn right I am.
I think the name of that movie.
Oh, that puts Monica at 4, buddy, 0. I'm going to do it with you. I'm gonna do the banana Sprite thing with you. So
I'm just worried about the soda part because I don't do sodas.
Well, you're not going to keep it down, so don't worry about it.
True.
Alrighty, that was your Padded Room Trivia Challenge. Let's go ahead and get ourselves into what are you looking at then. Had a busy week. I didn't get much in myself.
What are you looking at?
Whoa. Just 2 movies real quick for me. Day of Resurrection from 1980, also known as Virus. Have you guys seen this one? An Italian super flu wipes out the entire world, except for anybody that's out at sea when it spreads. So the world population, anybody who's out at sea goes to Antarctica because it can't survive in the cold.
Oh, okay.
So you have 800 men and 8 women.
Oh, those poor ladies.
Yeah, boy. Talk about porn stars.
Wow.
But then it gets weird because the United States has a fail-safe nuclear system, and an earthquake is going to set it off. So they have to send Bo Svenson. Remember that guy? He played Gar in fucking Snow Beast.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah, that guy. I had to send him back to Washington to deactivate the thing underneath the White House to prevent the nuclear strike from going off.
Oh, wow.
It's a very involved movie. It was like 3 hours long.
Holy cow.
I couldn't sleep, and it was on horror habit. And like the more I tried to go to sleep, the more interested I got in the movie. So eventually I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to finish this movie. God damn it. So I watched that, and I also watched Prevenge. Have you heard of this one?
Prevenge?
Yeah, no. It's a Shudder exclusive. Basically, a Scottish pregnant lady goes on a killing spree because she feels that her unborn daughter is commanding her to do it. It's actually more of a horror comedy, and there's some pretty funny moments in it.
All right.
Like, she hears the voice of her unborn daughter, but her unborn daughter is a real cunt. So she's like...
So do we actually get to hear the...
Yeah, you get to hear the voice. Nice. But she's like berating her and telling her to get off her fat ass and stuff. Wow. Go kill people.
Wow.
It's pretty gnarly. It's actually a horror comedy. It's pretty good. That's all I'm looking at. Monica, how about you?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
So I rewatched The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, cool.
Because Gersh and Jesse and all of them were talking about it. They just watched it, so I was like, I gotta watch this again.
I need to check this out, huh?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
All right.
And this movie. Oh, my God. So when I watched it in fifth grade, it terrorized me.
Okay.
And I watched Death Dream the other night, and I went... Really?
It's kind of wacky.
I was scared of this movie.
It's made by the same guys that brought us Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand how that scared you.
Well, in fifth grade, some guy coming back from the dead is pretty scary.
But he's like a vampire type of dude.
Yeah, but he didn't even really do anything.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he just killed people. And he had that big shit-eating grin on his face all the time,
too. Yeah, he did.
Maybe that's probably what that,
you did. Yeah. Now that you mention it, that is kind of unnerving.
I watched this one called One Dead Party.
No, never heard of that.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, there's the hand.
Uh-oh.
So the chick that plays in the movie actually reminded me of the Red Queen.
Okay.
Her and her husband married, and they're getting ready for a 90s-themed party.
Cool.
But she is just a bitch. Fucking cunt bitch, right?
I think we just opened some issues with the Red Queen.
Oh, no. I mean, like, look-wise.
Okay.
No, look-wise.
All right. Oh.
The scene that gets me is they're, like, standing on top of the stairs, and she starts telling him, she's all, I thought when I married you, you were going to turn into a man. She's all, but you're not a man. She's all, I don't even fucking love you. She's all, I just married you so I could bully you around.
Wow.
Oh, tearing him apart.
Wow.
She falls down the stairs and dies.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he kind of felt bad. Man. So he kind of like broke her bones and stuffed her in a chest.
Why would he feel bad? Why would you feeling bad make you hide the body?
Well, right? Because the people were coming over for the party.
Well, I think the party's canceled.
No, the party did not get canceled.
Okay.
So everybody that came to the party had to get killed, too.
No, all right.
Oh, wow.
That's why it was called One Dead Party.
Yeah,
okay.
I watched Be Afraid.
That sounds familiar.
This was actually okay. The guy from Sleepwalkers plays in it.
The kid?
Yeah, he's grown up. He's a doctor in town. And basically, these black shadows come and kidnap children.
Hmm.
And the town sheriff pretty much knows because he's feeding these things children.
All right.
So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds all right.
And what was good was they didn't explain what they were. So it leaves it open, maybe,
for
a part two.
I like it when they do that.
Yeah.
And then I watched Eaters.
Hmm.
Oh, is that the one about the cannibal dinner parties?
No, it's the one about, five people are at a rest stop and there's some bikers there. A girlfriend goes missing. And then they think it's the bikers, so they go and start shit with the bikers, but it turns out it wasn't the bikers.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the desert, there's like actually, maybe there's like cannibal people in the desert, and they kill pretty much everyone.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. And eat them, I assume?
Well, I didn't really see any.
Oh, you didn't make it all the way through?
I just went, oh, God.
One of those.
Buddy, how about you, man?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're too busy. Yeah. I get it, man. I don't mind going to bed early either every now and then. All right, let's get into a little immersion therapy then.
Immersion therapy.
Dude, I put some serious effort into this.
Sure.
Twice I tried to watch this movie, and both times I fell asleep at about the same area.
This is a great movie.
I'm sure it is.
It is?
I don't know. I give it the official Crease rating of fell asleep, don't really care. It seemed like a knockoff of freaking Firestarter.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of similarities.
Yeah. I did like watching Kurt Douglas do the Spider-Man routine out of the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In his underwear. That was, for an old guy, he was pretty spry, huh?
What do you think of that part?
I don't
know. You didn't even make it that far.
Wait, I made it as far as, you watched the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I watched it to the part where Kurt Russell, I'm sorry, not Kurt Russell.
I get my Kurt Douglas confused, too.
Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
So he rescues the girl out of the car at the intersection.
Okay.
And that's as far as I got. I thought I was like, what, 20 minutes away from the ending?
I think you made it farther than I did. I made it to the kid sabotaging the roller coaster and
I went past that.
Okay, you made it farther than I did.
I was really jealous, though, that I have been asking for gray hair forever, and he just, like, painted on shoe polish.
Oh, yeah, shoe polish, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I can get you some shoe polish.
Try it out.
Yeah, try it out.
Why do you want gray hair?
Well, it's that look of the silver.
I've got it coming in on the sides.
Well, I have some, too. But
if I don't keep it short, I look like Doctor Strange.
But when I had the half blonde, I was trying to make it look that silver
that
color.
Platinum?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. You're crazy. All right. I guess it's all right. I don't know. It's probably a mixture of me being exhausted and the movie being a little slow there in the middle. When you get into that weird Catholic schoolgirl thing and they're all making the trains go with their heads. Like, all right, this is fucking take.
So, buddy, what was the movie about?
So they faked a terror attack.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, they faked the dad's death in a terror attack.
Right.
And then the dad was trying to get his son back. So, okay. So they had this experiment where if you take two psychic people, you can use one to find the other one. So they were using the girl to try to find the son.
Oh.
The son, after the supposed terror attack, went on like off the deep end and started killing random Arab people. Am I right?
Yeah.
And then the dad had to go into hiding because he wanted them to think that he was dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's about as far as I got. Huh. So
that's it. Well,
that's about it.
That's yeah. It. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, buddy. What do you got for us this week?
All right, this week, let's check out 2014's Deep in the Darkness. It is written by John Doolin, directed by Colin Thees, and it stars Dean Stockwell, Blanche Baker, Sean Patrick Thomas, and Kristen Bush.
Very nice. Check that out, inmates. We'll do the same. We can compare notes next Tuesday night, if you like. As usual, the voicemail line is 775-387-0275, or you can get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. In the meantime, I guess we need to educate Miss Monica.
Educating Miss Monica.
Monica, run us down your clues one more time, please.
This could be a love story. I have a keen sense of smell. I'm so powerful, I have knocked heads off. My father and I don't get along, so unfortunately, we will have to fight to the death.
You know what I was thinking for, like, just a second? Demon Knight. Because I guess maybe if Billy Zane was like the devil's son, but remember he knocked that cop's head off?
Oh, okay.
And then towards the end, he like gets all lovey with Jada Smith.
Yeah, no.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch. I don't know.
That would be really hard for me to do a Billy Zane movie.
You do not besmirch Billy Zane in my house, young lady.
Come on, that one movie?
Which one?
His first movie?
Critters.
The boat movie.
Oh.
He was a fucking dick.
He was a rapist.
Yeah.
Dead Calm.
Yes.
You got to see everything Nicole Kidman had to offer.
Yeah, when she was real.
She's still real, I think.
I think so.
I think she's still hot.
I saw all of her and Eyes Wide Shut, too.
Eyes Wide Shut, baby. pants wide open.
Yeah, right?
Very cool. All right, Monica, who might you be this week?
What do you have when you have a town with a secret, a rape or two, a crooked judge, and a dark basement where they kept you chained up until you changed?
I got you. That's all right. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Think about that, inmates. We'll do the same and see what you come up with. I think I got her, though. Although I've been wrong before, but I feel pretty confident about this one. All right, let's put her to bed with a little werewolf athletics action, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
How about this weather we've been having, huh?
Yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah, me too.
Company of Wolves.
My ass hurts.
Sorry.
Insert San Francisco joke here. Do either one of you guys have like that Tempur-Pedic mattress? The memory foam thing?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Oh. I've had one for a couple years now, and for some reason, all of a sudden, my ass hurts. Not my asshole, but like my ass meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Your like cheeks?
Like the cheek, like the muscle there, and I don't know what that's about. I think it's because I'm a side sleeper, and the way that foam like just dips in the middle, I think it's like fucking me up somehow.
Oh.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, I like a hard bed, and sometimes if I sleep so deep, my hip bone hurts.
Yeah?
Yeah, from laying on my side.
You're a side sleeper, too. Uh-huh. I think that's what it is.
I'm a back sleeper.
I cannot sleep on my back or my stomach. I don't know why. And I think I'm still a little sleep-deprived from our fucking snoring friend.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to get caught up on some sleep.
I'm trying.
I got to share that story
Monica's got a road story for us.
Okay, so, met this really hot guy.
Okay.
And so, he was kind of weird to begin with. Like, when I first met him, he asked me to drop him off in the field, and I was like, why? And he's all, that's where I'm going to crash.
That's weird.
So yeah, right?
You picked up a homeless guy.
Well, I met him at a party, and so, like, we hung
was
out.
Was it next to a dumpster?
And so I dropped
where should
him
I
off.
Drop you off? This looks good.
Yeah, it gets really weird. I'll leave the weird family stuff.
Oh, out. No, you do not.
All right. So the next time I see him, you know, he starts telling me, he's like, Monica, he's all, I got to really tell you something. And I was like, oh, God, what? And so he was like, I molested my handicapped sister. And I was like, oh. Okay. So I was like, all right, you're wow. still hot. We'll overlook this, right?
You are overlooking a lot, my dear. Holy crap. Wow.
So then he says, hey, do you think you can teach me how to read? And I was like,
oh! Number two.
That's a left hook.
So I'm just like, whatever. So, like, we partied and stuff, but nothing ever happened.
Okay.
So then I was going to Ely to visit my best friend up there. Mm-hmm. So I took one of my other good friends, and he came along. And so my friend has a 2-year-old daughter, right? So
oh, hell no.
We're on this road trip. Oh, no, it's nothing like that.
Buddy's like, I'm leaving. We're about to be implicated in something.
So I tell Julie, okay, well, you and your daughter sleep in this bed, and me and him will sleep in this bed, mm-hmm. right? So the next morning comes, and I'm like, are you going to take a shower? And he's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to take a shower. So he pulls off his jeans. Okay, he's got a pair of sweats on. Okay,
he's cool. A homeless guy. That's what homeless dudes do.
First pair of sweats come off.
Multiple sweats.
Second pair come off. And third pair come off. Dude. And I was like, oh my God, I thought this guy was like big, but he's not.
Wow.
Like, wait, what's right? So he takes a shower, and I've had it with him at this point. I tell Julia, I'm like, fuck, we got to get rid of this guy. So yeah. He's done taking a shower, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, are you going to brush your teeth? And he's like, I don't have a toothbrush. And I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, I just chew Juicy Fruit. And I went, oh my God.
Wow.
Juicy Fruit.
Wow.
Yeah. So we didn't talk the whole drive home. And so I dropped him off at the corner in somewhere in Carson. And I like threw my hairbrush at him. And I'm like, don't ever fucking call me again.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real winner.
That's a good one, Mike. I thought my stripper stories were bad. I'm not picking up dudes at the homeless shelter. Alrighty. Well done, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
All right, inmates, I think that's about going to do us for the week. Now I feel like I should take a shower just for being in the vicinity of that story being told. I feel dirtier because of that. Holy cow, Monica. Join us next week. We're going to be launching Eric Roberts Month, as dictated by Crackhouse Matt.
Mm-hmm.
We said Neuron from 2016.
Yes.
That's going to launch us into Eric Roberts Month. Yeah, that's about going to do us for the week. As usual, inmates, like, comment, subscribe over at iTunes. Check out the Patreon link if you feel like donating a little something-something. We'll kick you down some cool stuff. You can also do your T-shirt shopping at paddedroom.podbean.com or your Amazon shopping there, too. We'll get a little percentage of that. And I think that's about... Oh, we're adding new Patreon content for everybody that subscribed. Put one of the riff tracks up last night. I'll probably put another one up tonight or tomorrow night. And I think that's about going to do us for the week, unless you guys got anything else.
No.
All right. Until next Tuesday, for Miss Monica and Buddy, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye.
Enjoy the rest of your week.